Call the March meeting of the Colonial School Board of Education to order. Our host this evening is Janessa Nunville, principal of Castle Hill Elementary School, and our flag salute this evening will be led by Carrie Campbell, assistant principal today, please.
The flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm sorry, Mary Beth. I'll correct it. Carrie Campbell is also our host this evening, as well as leading in.
That red is for you to read ahead of time.
Yeah, I know. If I followed directions, I would, never mind. Any additions or corrections to the board agenda from the board? We have one who will add to the agenda under education, item A, policy. It will be the posting of the policy that was read last month. Next order of business we have is the approval of the agenda as corrected.
Second.
We move a second. We approve the agenda as corrected. Questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Agenda is approved. Consent agenda consists of past board meeting minutes, educational items for good cause, kindergarten choice, and other choice selections, and personnel moves. And various business moves. Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Move a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Consent agenda is approved. Next order of business we have is school showcase and recognition.
Good evening, school board, Superintendent Dr. Menzer, and school board president, Peter Wall. My name is Doug Tim. I've been the proud principal at Cary Downey for the past 6 years, I do believe. I have with me Olivia Aquino, she's a school psychologist, Shelby McCleary, a kindergarten through second grade guidance counselor, Dorinda Richardson, our lead cook and parent, Melissa Ringler, our physical education teacher and parent, Darian Armstrong, a fourth grade student, Linda, a fourth grade student, and Elle Truckley, a second grade teacher. Unfortunately, because of some prior commitments and two people being sick, I have to read a few extra sections that I planned on, but I'll get through it and we will learn about Cary Downey. First of all, we are the CD Dolphins. At Cary Downey, it is not about what we do so much as about who we are. We are first and foremost a community. We know each other on personal levels. On the surface, you might see one thing, but it's not until you look deeper that you see what we really are about. We don't settle for failure. We push each other and we push our students to be better every day. We value learning and growth as preparation for the future. We also know faces, families, brothers, and sisters. There is a look, a moment, multiple events when you realize this is not a school but a community of learning, where those that are invested can get as much out of each other as each can give. It is special and is something you don't see. It's an impression, sense, atmosphere of feeling that you understand when you are a CD Dolphin. As you read this quote, I want you to think that there is a commitment to meeting the whole child at Cary Downey. We have done things this year that are pushing the limits around social-emotional learning in the state. We have multiple components of how this looks. We will take a few minutes to highlight just a few of the systems that we have in place. These are only a sampling of the relationships between educator and student in our building, and as always, that relationship is the first line of defense. I'm going to ask Ms. Aquino to come on up and talk about some clubs. And also, she's going to speak for our wellness center as far as morning affirmations.
So the social skills includes 10 weeks, two sessions per week, focused on fostering and promoting healthy school social skills among elementary level students. Good social skills means following unwritten social rules of the environment. Good social skills involve more than direct language-based interactions. The goal is to help students learn how to develop positive peer relationships and understand the importance of relationships. The students learn how to understand themselves and how their actions and interactions affect them socially. This group strengthens their communication, reasoning, gain self-awareness, and foster them to become more confident socially. This is all done in a safe and supportive environment. Now, as for the Wellness Center, they have morning affirmations that are done daily with students that are in their groups. It is a very informal, as our room is on the main hallway and all second and third graders pass through on the way to their homeroom.
You might tell me what empathy means. It means that you understand what the other person is doing.
Exactly. Okay, what's another one?
Like you're in somebody else's shoes.
Oh, that was good. What are some words that we use to describe empathy? What are some words?
I can imagine how you're feeling.
Okay, good job.
Considerate.
Being considerate. What else?
Emotion.
Okay. His friends didn't want to play. And then how do you think you would feel?
I would feel angry.
You would feel angry? Yeah, we're going to read our second one now. All right, Jaden, why don't you read your second?
Her birthday party today.
Her birthday party today. All right, so how do you think she would feel?
Excited.
Do we have one that's excited over here?
Yeah, up there.
I thought I did. All right, so you would feel excited.
She's a lot of cold.
Ooh. I think how would you feel?
You could use water.
How would you feel if your ice cream cone fell off your ice cream fell off your cone?
Angry.
What about Lila?
In the group, I have learned some skills on how to calm down. I concentrate on these things like smell, taste, sight, hearing, and touch. Being and the group has helped me at home and school. I remember a time when my older brother was being mean to me and I took some deep breaths and chose to walk away. I want to continue in the group because we do fun activities like charades to act out words about our feelings.
Reality. one-on-one as needed. Each student that is supported by the Wellness Center has gotten permission from parents through their application process. Students are then screened, observed, and placed in the most appropriate level of service. This model is really focusing on being proactive and identifying those students that aren't necessarily going to come to the office and ask for help. The goal of the Wellness Center is to offer each and every student from kindergarten to fifth grade the opportunity to unite in a friendly space dedicated to helping students increase their overall knowledge about what wellness means as a whole. The friendly staff, licensed and mastered level clinicians, as a seasoned medical director, work with the students in groups as well as in individual sessions to provide relevant and up-to-date information, focusing on the students' ability to increase their knowledge in a variety of holistic ways. This includes students learning how to increase their social-emotional skills, increase their knowledge about nutrition and making healthy food choices, and increase their ability to sustain good health that leads them away from potential illnesses into a place of wellness. As a parent of a child with special needs, I can say I am tremendously thankful for the multiple opportunities Brayton has at Carrie Downey to practice social skills and continue learning how to express his emotions in a healthy way. Not only does he get to be a part of a small group with our school counselor, Ms. McCleary, but he also has the opportunity to meet with a social skills group in the Wellness Center weekly. The exposure to different small groups in different settings is a wonderful experience for Brayton. As a teacher in a school with these options and useful resources, I find it especially helpful for students who are frustrated and in need of someone to talk to. This also provides them with the opportunity to see other students dealing with similar feelings, where ultimately they can work through some of the emotions with peer support as well.
I'm going to speak for now Dr. McLean. She actually just this afternoon was awarded her doctorate in her defense, so she is unfortunately scheduling. She'd prefer to go out to dinner with her parents after that than to come to the board meeting. I don't know if it's a real script, but I wanted to put that out there. All right. So she started as part of her doctorate, a peer mediation group that was pretty successful. And this year, Mrs. McLean, now Dr. McLean, started a peer mediation program where students were selected, screened, and then trained in mediation strategies. The overall idea was that students could better relate to each other in conflict resolution around minor disagreements in areas like recess and lunch. They had a dedicated area to meet and reports to fill out to track progress. The top graph represents the referrals for this year in the cafeteria and playground. The bottom graph is from the 18-19 school year. Dr. McLean needed to find a way for students to gain ownership over their own behavior. The idea was a manifestation of conversations with staff and students. Students should be doing the work around this in order for it to be more meaningful and impactful.
Dad, where's my iPad?
It's not.
What's happening?
Well,
so,
Dr. McLean
said
that
I
had the table and
he
wanted to get to it, so he tried to grab it.
Well, I just wanted the dinosaur, and he's had it for, like, so long.
No. I would put it hurt. Yeah,
that's a pretty good one. So you guys want to go with that? Yes. Okay, I'm going to have the assignment first. Must be cursed. So I am the K-2 counselor at Carrie Downey. So my hope is that students are gaining the knowledge and skills necessary to interact appropriately with others on a daily basis. Through groups and classroom guidance lessons, I am working to incorporate social skills, the idea of making and keeping friends, and the zones of regulation curriculum, which is a self-regulation curriculum designed with common language to help students better understand their feelings and ways to manage their emotions in an appropriate way.
As a school counselor for grades 3 to 5, I work with the students focusing on social skills that they can utilize beyond the classroom. The majority of the time is spent with students working in small groups where they have open and honest discussions regarding conflict management, healthy friendships, accepting no for an answer, and setting boundaries among other topics. I also work with students on an individual level to support them with their home life, academically, and socially. In addition, I work with several community organizations to assist with the advocating for students, such as the YAP program, Creative Mentoring, PARC, and the University of Delaware.
And like I said earlier, and Ms. McNeil touched on a couple of the other programs, we have many more things at Carey Downey beyond just what we've been able to present today. Just we had a limited amount of time, and I didn't want to go over. So finally, our students are what we love, for who we reach, the reason we teach, educators and community bonded together. The power of we, for us, it is the need, the wanting to pursue, bring the power of you, them, voices, opinions through and through. The power of CD is to amplify all those at all levels of ready, colony of caring, growth through daring. Our students cannot be described with just words or numbers. It is actions, creations, and evidence that moves our barometer. Nor any single program or trick, but a direction, a mindset, a willingness to learn and solve. We will now be open for any questions from you all.
Any questions from members of the board?
Oh, I have one.
Sure. Turn on the mic. I think it's a turn on the mic.
I thought it was on.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me? Anyway, my question is, because I did a peer mediation group, do you see that the students that are not peer mediators starting to catch on to some of the skills and solve their own problems?
Outside of the peer mediator group, I think that's our next step in talking to Ms. McLean or Dr. McLean now. What we found is the ones who are the mediators have really taken a sense of ownership of it, and we really want to grow the program through them. So we actually talked to you talked today in her defense about this summer getting them to be the lead trainers for students for next year. And I think it'll grow from there. But we had a lot of bumps and bruises this year. I think she really admit some of the forms we had at the beginning were too lengthy for kids. We had to put them on one sheet. So those sort of things are sort of a growing process. But I definitely think we're primed and ready for a big year next year.
Good. Other questions?
I have one. You mentioned that you get the parents' permission, like for the kids to participate in the wellness center. Is that because they've been recommended to participate, or is it open to every student and then they come to you with a permission slip?
Yeah, it's open to every student, and they have different rules and regulations than we do at the school level. So they have a specialized permission slip for them, and they have a screening process. They go through a survey, an interview. Once they've been, once the parent has given permission, and they're selected into groups based on how they do through the interview.
So what's the, like about the percentage of kids that participate?
I think we're at like 65 or 70% of our student population.
Oh, okay.
So it's about 280 kids or so, give or take. It's a 7-week program, so it's always just fluctuating a little bit.
Oh, thank you.
Other questions? Good? Thank you very much. Next order of business we have is who we are, the recognition. Ms. Wilson?
How's it going? No, you skipped it the last time.
Good evening, President Laws, Vice President Kennedy, fellow board members, and all of you here from Colonial Nation. Tonight, we have several shout-outs. The first goes to John Wells Senquez. He's a first grader at Wilmington Manor Elementary School. We want to congratulate John Well for recently winning first place at the county level for the firefighters' annual fire safety poster contest. John Well went on to the state level where he once again won first place for his poster entry. At the state level, John Well was awarded 2 trophies and a cash award. John Well, please come forward because Colonial Nation wants to recognize
you might as well keep that hand out of your pocket. Thank you.
Congratulations. Gianna Marrero is a seventh grade student at George Reed in the All-State Junior Chorus. Gianna earned her spot after auditioning with students from all over the state. Just making it through the All-State Chorus is quite an achievement, but Gianna made it to the top 10 out of 350 students in the entire state of Delaware. We want to thank you for representing who we are. Please come forward. Forward as well as her music teacher and have a photo taken.
Thank you. Gunning-Bedford girls basketball team has gone 3 years undefeated and are back-to-back winners for the Capital Classic basketball tournament. We want to congratulate the Gunning-Bedford Panthers and their coach, Kevin McDermott. Coach McDermott will distribute the certificates to all of the girls. We want them to gather over by the Who We Are, the We Power of We photo sign. And we're going to ask all of the teammates to come forward along with your coach.
You can smile. You got to smile. You got to smile. Where's Hopalong? There she is.
Caught you.
Does everybody have to carry you all season too, or what? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Southern Elementary School and was one of five parents.
Paras in the state and the only one in Colonial selected to be a part of the Delaware team for the next cohort of Leaders for Just Schools. The group will attend a pre-convening training on racial justice on May 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C., and then the training will take place on July 21st through the 25th in New Orleans. Thank you, Katrina, for representing who we are.
Thank you, Nell. We have these 14 young ladies sitting up here in front of us right now for how many years? 3 years?
3 years.
Oh, some of you.
Okay, 3 years. Congratulations. I would expect all 14 of you will be at William Penn, not someplace else, coming forward. Do I hear a yes on that?
Where are you going to go?
All right, we'll give the students a few minutes if they can go ahead and leave if they like to. Yeah. Since they have homework to do.
Yeah, go do your homework, girls.
Yeah.
Homework time, girls.
Go ahead.
You're excused. Yeah, the parents can take their families and stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Care. Nice job, ladies. Congratulations. Awesome.
That was good.
The immersion complaint is going to be about the fact that the kindergarten program isn't running this year. You can just say thank you very much if somebody we can. We've actually had a parent meeting already.
Okay.
Look at your little love note. Well, after administrative assignments. I know.
Okay, our next order of business is the item that we added on our agenda.
Yeah.
Administrative assignments.
No, we added. This is after. So we're doing administrative assignments. You're adding the motion to approve the administrative
assignments. Got it. Administrative assignments. Do I hear a motion to approve the assignments as recommended by the administration?
Motion to approve the administrative and supervisory vacancies. Policy number
308.
By the administration.
Not yet.
Not that one. It's the administrative assignments first. My mistake.
Oh, okay. Motion to approve the superintendent's recommendation for administrative positions.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
We move a second to approve the administrative assignments as recommended by the administration. Questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried. 6A, our added item, is for to approve the administrative and supervisory vacancy policy number 308 as read last month. Do I hear a motion to approve the posting?
Motion for administrative and supervisory vacancy policy. Motion to approve the administrative supervisory vacancy policy number 308 as presented by the administration.
Motion has been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Made and second. Do I hear any questions for Ms. Fleetwood? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is approved. Superintendent's office report. Dr. Menzer.
Just wanted to provide two brief announcements. One that to the board and to the community that this month we began our collective bargaining conversations with all of our employee groups. First week in March, and we continue to progress in a positive fashion with all groups, having healthy dialogues and conversations on both sides of the table. Nothing to report right now, other than that we hope in the coming months we'll be bringing forward some groups for signings of collaborative agreements for the foreseeable future, 5-year agreements. Just wanted to provide that update to the board. Also, I just wanted to share with the board and the community at large that we've clearly had our challenges in the past several weeks with respect to viruses and colds and mumps and the things that are out there in the media and actually going on in our schools. I just wanted to provide the board and the community with some confidence in respect to that we are addressing these challenges as they present themselves on a regular basis. We currently, for the coronavirus, we have a daily meeting with the admin team to discuss and review the state of the Delaware's reaction and response to cases as they arise and recommendations to public schools, as well as tracking the national trend with respect to coronavirus cases. We also, on top of just our own internal conversation, the Newcastle County Chiefs, which would be Apo, Brandywine, Red Clay, Christina, as well as Newcastle County VOTEC, we have a twice-a-week conference call where we're also talking about the things that are going on, what are our decision points, what are we going to be, what actions are we going to need to be taking in the short term as well as in the long term. We're really approaching this just like we do with snow day decisions. We're kind of all putting our ideas forward, talking about what we have going on, sharing resources, and just providing a sounding board for each other as we navigate this space. We do continue to get support from the Delaware Department of Public Health and DOE. We have been in active conversations with them since probably Sunday night Monday morning with respect to this week providing an update to our community and not just being a lone district colonial providing a comment, but all the districts providing a comment at the same time that hopefully provides all folks with a standing of where we are in Newcastle County, recognizing that many folks work in different districts, teachers have students in other districts, and when the messages go out in disjointed fashion, it often creates a ripple effect of, well, what about my child? What about my community? We are working on having a timely publication put out sometime tomorrow afternoon. I know our public information officers are working on that now. So there's a lot of coordination, at least here in Newcastle County, as well as across the state. The chiefs are constantly, all 19 chiefs are on an email chain where we're constantly seeing trends and talking about decisions that need to be made. I will just share, you know, the example of, we were just informed literally an hour or so ago that the University of Delaware is not going to be hosting the DIA basketball tournaments. They offered the facility, but they offered the facility with the caveat that you can't have fans. So the DIA made a decision to pivot and step away from that engagement, and they are now looking for other venues to host the championship rounds that are moving forward on Thursday. Like, these are literally things, as I'm sitting here on my phone, I'm watching all these things pop up. That's kind of keeping abreast of the situation. And with respect to the mumps, we are again following the lead of the Department of Public Health. Our behavioral health division, the nurses, our director, John Cooper, our PIO, and our schools directors are constantly monitoring the schools in contact with DPH to advise us if there are new cases, what's our status of our students who are out, when are they due to return, what precautions do we need to take in maintaining a clean and as germ-free environment as possible that we can provide. As you saw, we did have a news feature story that was kind of coincidentally timed, it was not planned, believe it or not, that there was a story that was released at the end of February about a new tool that our custodians are using to clean classrooms in the evenings that is actually improves their efficiency in terms of the ability to make it around the building and provide cleaning to all spaces, but also kills the germs more effectively because it covers a greater area more assuredly than it does with a spray and a wipe. And we're really confident that that is something that's going to continue to provide support for our classroom teachers, as well as our, you know, bus drivers, our cafeteria workers, and all the spaces where our students congregate. We will continue to provide updates. I strongly recommend you just continue to look at our Facebook page, our website, if you're curious, if there's something going on. We are literally, it is a hourly fluid process. There are things changing rapidly at all levels, and we are doing the best we can to keep up, to keep our children and our staff and our community safe, because this is something that's rather daunting. But we would encourage you not to panic and stay the course with, you know, going to the resources that you have for your families, whether it's your primary care providers, or if you have a question, feel free to reach out to our school nurses. They can definitely provide you some guidance. So just wanted to provide that update.
Thank you. Facilities update.
President Laws, Dr. Menzer, members of the board, leadership team, and guests. There's a couple different things I wanted to review with you tonight. First, I wanted to go over the Leach project with you and where we stand on the land purchase for a new facility. So I want to go over with you the past couple of years and the different properties that we've looked at.
That's the recorder.
So the first site that we looked at a couple years ago was at the corner of Federal School Lane and Route 13. This property has some surprises for us. The first one being stormwater diversion costs and issues. The second, the big one, was the human remains. So we decided to step away.
First I heard of that one.
We decided to work
now. That would be a good choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Site number two. For the total of four. So. All right, so site number two, Hamburg Road, and between Route 9 and Route 13, former UPS site. So that site offered a challenge with the current owner, landowner, requiring exclusive development rights in order to sell the property. So this is a violation that we can't, you know, we cannot adhere to because of state procurement requirements. Okay, so we had to step away. He didn't want to come to an agreement. So again, we walked away from that piece of property. Site number three, Airport Road behind the Wawa next to our operations center. We made it down to the plus review, and one of the agencies had discovered that you cannot have a school facility within 10,000 feet of a runway, which if you look in the right-hand corner, you can see the Newcastle County Airport runway right to the right-hand side. We weren't aware of that, so again, we had to step away from that property. So site number four, this is looking pretty good. So we hope.
Is that why it's last?
That's why it's last, that's correct. And there's no X, as you can see. So this is off of Route 7, 72. It's actually that Corbett Road on the right-hand side. Route 1's on the left and right across from Wilbur, as you can see on the left-hand side, they're on the west side of Route 1. Newcastle County owns this property, and they have agreed to sell this property to us for $2.6 million. It's actually being sold to the state because Leach is a special needs school. This will be a 100% state-funded project, so they've agreed to sell it to the state for $2.6 million. The PLUS review has revealed that there is a known archaeological site from the 18th century, somewhat to the center and south of that parcel. We've reached out to Newcastle County. They've agreed, if there's any cost for that, that they would cover those costs. We don't foresee there being really anything there. They've gone back and looked at past maps and everything. They don't see anything being on the property from past maps dating back to the late 1800s. So we feel pretty confident about that. We're working to secure system capacity certifications for both water and sewer needs for the site. So we've reached out to those agencies. We were asking for letters from them to submit to the state as we move through the process to show that the utilities can handle the needs. We also must go through the process to generate a school site report for this location to submit to the state. And then we also, prior to submitting a certificate of necessity request in August, we'll conduct soil boring samples and also traffic studies to determine any anticipated extraordinary site costs so that the state can plan accordingly as they give us the funds for the project. So that's where we stand with parcel number 4. Hopefully that's promising and we can move forward with that. So are there any questions from the board? The
PLUS review.
Yes.
What did it show?
The one was the archaeological site.
No other detail other than an archaeological site?
They said, hey, here's a location where we suspect there was an old structure from the 1800s.
So has there been any investigation at all there?
That's where the county went back and they did some investigation. I think they worked with the University of Delaware and they found that there was nothing on any parcels or any past maps from the 1800s like the archaeological site had indicated.
Did they do any excavation whatsoever to see if there was any remnants there?
They have not.
Is that scheduled to happen?
At this point, no. Our land developer, Andy Lubin, has indicated to me that they're fairly confident that there is not going to be anything on that parcel.
We don't need any surprises.
I'm aware, and I've indicated that to him. I've asked him that. He's very confident that there will not be anything found on the property. So I can only give away this.
Okay. Is there currently sewer and water going along that area right there?
There actually is going to be a new sewer pumping station put in, actually east on 72, where the new facility is being built, the new
North Point
storage facility is being built there, the Amazon plant, Amazon distribution facility. They're actually just on the south side of that, and Newcastle County is going to be putting in a new pumping station there.
On the south side of 13, or on the east side of 13?
East side of 13, correct. On the east side of 13, north side of 72. They're going to be putting a new pumping station in there. We've reached out to them with our capacity, with our enrollment numbers, and their engineers are looking at that to make sure that their pumping station can handle the needs of the school.
Okay.
And we've also reached out to Artesian with the same, with our current usage at Leach, and then also our enrollment numbers right now. And they're also having their engineers look at that to make sure that the Artesian water line or Suez water line can handle the requirements of the school.
Okay.
And then once those things go through, then that's when we'll go ahead and do boring samples on the site to make sure there's that the soil conditions will handle a facility without having to do pilings or some type of support structure under the facility.
We should be,
as you know, APO will run right into similar things.
At North Point, they threw that thing.
Soil
like
conditions.
A blank.
So that's something we want to do. And then also do a traffic study to make sure there's no extraordinary site costs that are going to be associated with that as we submit for CM.
Have we done any type of study of the type of traffic and whatnot that goes along Route 1 that will cause us any issues?
We have not. We've gone out on site and listened to the noise and just kind of the noise level. And we feel that if we build a berm on the backside of the facility with different vegetation and different shrubs and trees, that with that berm, it'll muffle the noise enough to where it's not going to be a hindrance to the
If you stand at Wilbur, it's the same sound.
Right. Okay. All right, thank you. Yep. Any other questions? None? Thank you very much.
All right, the second thing I'd like to review tonight is the Voluntary School Assessment Spending Plan, otherwise known as the VSA funding. So the FY 2020 bond bill includes a provision to allow school districts to use proceeds from the VSA accounts for minor capital improvement projects. VSA funds are impact fees that are paid by developers when building new homes in the areas where existing schools do not have the capacity to support the anticipated enrollment growth. So a lot, as new homes are being built, there's a small portion that they put into this fund, this pot. So in 2019, there was just over $10 million that were in this fund. Available to Colonial School District. Earlier in the fiscal year, we submitted $2.1 million in projects that were approved earlier in the fiscal year. We are also, in the meantime, we're doing a district-wide facility needs assessment is underway to identify the full scope of projects necessary to keep our buildings operating efficiently. You know, many major building systems are at the end of their life. Roofs, HVAC systems, fire alarm systems, windows, water mains, and the list just keeps on going. Minor problems and emergency issues are being addressed as they arise, but many large-scale projects are looming across the district. So here's a list. They've gone through, we have a draft so far of six sites that they've gone through. And these are just some of the highlights that we gathered from the six sites that they've gone through, plus some other things that we have out there that we know of. Totaling a total of $13,960,500, and they have quite a bit left to address. And like I said, this is just a draft, so there's some things that we're still working on costs for to figure out where the budgets where they sit as far as the biggest replacements that are in these buildings. A lot of our roofs, water mains we're having. That are getting ready to go, that are 50, 60 years old. So that's the things that we're focusing on right now, and to keep our schools in working condition. So the next steps for this, before we move forward and submit to the state, we want to finish the needs assessment, which is slated to be finished in the middle of April, over spring break. They're gonna finish it with William Penn High School. And after that, we'll sit down and we'll go through the list. We'll kind of make sure everything lines up, and then we'll go ahead and do a presentation for the board and for the public. After that's finished, we'll go ahead and prioritize the projects based on the amount of money that we have in our VSA account and also with our minor cap funds. Expenditure plan for all VSA proceeds must be board approved and submitted to the state for additional funds to be available. So long-range plan for meeting all facility needs is what we're looking to do with this assessment.
Okay, ready for questions?
Any questions?
I have one.
Yes. Hey.
Who is the main stakeholder that will prioritize the project?
It'll be myself and Emily Falcon. We'll sit down together with the site assessment team. And we'll go through and we'll kind of prioritize the greatest needs.
Jeff?
We only have so much money, and we're only six sites into it, and we have over $13 million right now in repair costs.
What's the criteria you're going to use for prioritizing those items?
So they've actually, as they go through and do the assessment, they've actually put a priority level 1, 2, 3, or 4 on the projects, meaning a 1 to 2 year replacement plan, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, I think 8 to 10, somewhere in that range. So we're gonna start with obviously our priority 1 to 2s and go from there. And we're gonna have to look at those and see where we sit and then take the worst case and try to knock those projects out first.
Let me ask that question a different way.
Okay.
What are you gonna think about when you prioritize those things? Is one of the first things on there safety for our students?
Safety is one of them, but also keeping buildings dry. If we don't have a dry facility, that's
a safety issue.
Safety. If we're not keeping them dry and keeping moisture out, that's a big concern.
Sure. It's a health and safety issue.
Yes. Yep. So that's one of the big things that we're looking at. Yep.
Okay. But
as far as safety goes, like if you're thinking of secure entrances and different things, we also have grant money through the state that we're also looking to utilize the grant money, the safety money from the state to help with our secure entrance projects and different things. If we can't line them up through that, then we'll also possibly look at these funds as well.
Can you go back to your list there for a minute? Yep. And the fire alarm system, would that fall underneath the same program as their security? Because it's all security related.
Yeah, if the fire alarm system is past, is getting to the age of replacement, you know, get to the point where we can't get parts for them. I mean, our company that we've been using has done a great job for us as far as doing what they can to find things, find parts, even if they're some used parts because these systems are getting outdated. They've done a great job of finding those for us. Then yes, we're going to look to do that as well.
But isn't that considered as part of the other grant money that we have?
We're looking at all of our funding sources and just trying to prioritize and stack things
there
up accordingly.
That could cross over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need to turn every stone that we can here to try to get much of this done. Yeah.
And with the facilities assessment, that's really going to help us out. I mean, there's so much. We know there's a lot of things that we know of, but we don't know of everything and what those costs look like, and that's what they're helping us with by doing this facility assessment.
Okay, so you say you have the assessment done this month?
It'll be done in William Penn High School will slate it to be done over spring break. So they'll be finished with that. It'll take us probably a month to sit down and go over the drafts. You know, I was hoping by the May board meeting, might not be May, might be June, to have a final draft and go over that with you.
Sooner rather than later.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't like putting stuff off. I think it's something, this is something that we've been dealing with for a year or more now.
Now, so not to
and I don't want somebody to change what they're telling us to do.
Oh, for the money.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. We've already towed that water, and we feel comfortable that money is there for us. We broke the seal, so to speak, on getting access to it. It only took, I don't know, 5 months. So we feel like that 5 months is going to winnow down to, like, we put the thing in front of them, and we're hoping that it's going to move quicker. So we did test it, like we said, in the fall with the $2 million project. The three projects with the $2.1 million. So, but to you, just to one other point, there are some items that when we uncover them, if they are become a mission critical item, for example, a fire alarm system at a pre-K center that actually isn't functioning, that becomes a mission critical option and we need to address it immediately, and it would conceivably fall off this list into a different bucket.
Category,
yeah. Right. So. Just that's an ever-evolving challenge.
Any other questions from the board? Ron, anything?
Nope.
Anything? I would hope that you'll give us a status report next month on where you're at.
Sure. Yep.
That would be April. So by May, I would hope to have your list of priorities in front of the board.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So we can take action on them.
Okay. Thank you.
All right?
Thank you.
You did hear him say June, right?
Yeah, and I said, uh-uh. I'm in that business. I know how that money goes away.
Yes. We know. Come on.
All right.
Good job. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Our next order of business, Ms. Falcon. Business.
Colonial Board Members, Colonial Nation. Have budget variance for us, budget variance report for us for the month ending January 31st. We looked at this with our finance committee last week. 58% of the fiscal year has gone by at this point. We've received just over 90% of our expected annual revenue. And we are at 56.98% of budget spent year to date, with just over 60% adding in the purchase orders and encumbrances we have. We had about $37,000 in credit card transactions hit during the month of January. And we were actually able to have a dialogue with our student services director, Holly Sage, came in and talked to the committee about our special education services, how we've been budgeting them, the evolution of the budgets, and how that's supported the different educational options that we have. And it was a good, robust discussion with the committee. I do have Mr. PQ from our finance committee to address the board. And I also do want to put forward for your consideration and approval a new board member to replace Mr. Jarman, who we recognized a couple months back, Mr. Leon Wilson, who would be joining the finance committee if you guys were to approve them.
I think you'll need to put that on the agenda next month.
Good evening, board. The oversight committee recommends that the budget variance report should be approved by the school board. And as always, we're available for any questions if you have any.
Any questions from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the monthly budget variance report.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the monthly budget variance report. Any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Report is approved. Go ahead.
I also, if it would please the board, I would need a motion on the approval of Mr. Leon Wilson as...
We do not have that on the agenda for this month, so we'll need to add that to next month's agenda.
Okay. All right, we'll figure out that's
back. And I would update that, too, for a possible second, am I correct?
Sorry?
We'll talk about it after the meeting.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay. I'm sorry, but it's not on the agenda. We can't approve it.
Understood. Thank you. Sorry for the miscommunication.
That's okay.
It's true. She's going to need two.
It's always got to be one in the crowd.
Carrie, could you remove that gentleman from the audience? That has to stop.
All right. The next order of business we have is Delaware School Board Association updates for members of the board. Do we have any reports?
Yes.
The SBA.
There was no meeting this month of the legislative committee.
Okay. Miss Lucy?
Yes, I actually had a very good report, and I can't find a paper, but a couple of the main highlights. The president, Dr. Marinucci, he went before legislature for two different things, and the biggest one was he was talking about the inequity statewide of the tax bases and how much is spent per student, and he talked about the change in the percentages. And we've gone over the years, and I'm saying over the years, like 20 years, from 37% to 56%, that the local district is paying as opposed to the state. So he addressed that issue and emphasizing how it needs to change, that the state needs to take and equalize our student costs statewide. And the other one was referring back to some capital issues. Also, the disrepair of some of the public schools throughout the state that they don't have the money for, the individual districts and their bond bills. So, again, that's being addressed. And I apologize, and I'll make up for it next month. I apologize.
No problem. Thank you.
At least I didn't read the whole thing.
There you go. Any questions from members of the board for either of our members? All right. Thank you very much. Items removed from the consent agenda, we have none. Next order of business we have after that is conversation with the board. We have a number of individuals who'd like to speak to the board tonight, but let me read this information for you, please. This informal session allows community members to discuss their views on issues and allow board members to respond. Administrative staff will also be available to follow up for specific questions. The responses from individual board members do not necessarily reflect the Colonial School District Board of Education's official position. The opinions and views shared tonight are those of each individual. Laws protecting the privacy right of employees and students prohibit board members from engaging in a discussion of any employee's performance or qualifications or confidential matters relating to a student. If a board member were to violate such statutory rights to privacy, such a board member may be exposed to individual liability. Concerns regarding individuals will not be discussed in the open forum. If you have a personnel issue regarding your child or children, we will help you set up an appointment with the appropriate person to address your needs. Also, too, there is a 3-minute time limit to each person's comments. Okay? First one that we have today is Ralph Trent Woody. Please come up to the podium.
Do you want me to run the timer?
Yes, please. Your time begins now.
Thank you very much, board. My name is Ralph Trent Woody, as you just mentioned.
We, as the Women of Peacekeepers, are starting to reach out to all the school boards in Cassie County. So I'm gonna open up with a background of how we started, who we are. I have another comrade with me that's gonna bring in some of the things we wanna address to you guys and see if it's feasible for your actual school district. So we, as the Women of Peacekeepers, were formed in 2008. And we were formed in response to the sudden violence that was happening with our youth in the city in Wilmington, Delaware. We wear the color orange because it's a form of how traffic's being worked on. You always see the orange cones out and everything, so it's, something's under construction. So we do that because we know our neighborhoods and our children and everything is under construction because of the misfortunes that's happened. It indicates that the area under construction, you should pay close attention to the surroundings. Therefore, peacekeepers wear the orange. The key objective of the Wilmington Peacekeepers is to drastically reduce the incidence of the violence and the crime. Although we attend marches and other public events to highlight the issues on guns and violence, we also take many specific actions that we believe will help to address the issues. And some of the activities are these. We conduct numerous street meetings where instances of violence have occurred. We organize and execute educational trips for young people in the community, those that are less fortunate to be able to afford to go to like the African American Museum, something like that. We conduct an annual children's rally every year in different neighborhoods around the city, and we conduct them intentionally in high crime areas. So we take a park and block, and we get grants and we get hidden. Do that to bring an atmosphere of positivity where they don't see nothing but negativity all the time. Based on community input, when we canvass the community, we have developed a list of specific recommendations which we believe, if fully implemented, will result in a much safer environment. Now we can use your support as we begin to visit every school board in the area in a request to them to modify their school curriculum based on one of our recommendations. The request is to include in their curriculum materials to address the inappropriate use of social media as one of the contributors to violence in the communities, in the violent incidents. That's my opening thought.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good press. You had 12 seconds there. Nice job.
And I know I'm going to.
Good presentation.
I know I'm going to mess this up. Nora Wisnot?
Yes, thank you. Huh?
Thank you. I'm part two of the Wilmington Peacekeepers. I'm a nurse in the area of adolescent mental health and a volunteer with the Peacekeepers. As you know, our neighborhoods have a high incidence of violence, resulting in many cases in trauma, which affects learning. Peacekeepers, because they're embedded in the local community, have access to the fears and recommendations of the neighborhood and did conduct a survey on this issue. And one of the main factors that they found in the local violence was the escalation of feuds on social media, such as WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. And so the Peacekeepers, based on the community recommendations, would like to see a school curriculum revised to incorporate segments on anger management and de-escalation with special emphasis on social media. We could see from what the school is doing that there is tremendous and lovely effort being made on face-to-face communications to de-escalate anger situations. But on social media, a post or a tweet can lead to a delayed gap so that their de-escalation cannot occur in the situation. If a person can hear the, or see the tweet maybe the next day, and it just escalates very rapidly. And so, and with also there's an emphasis that these records last forever at the detriment to the students and the groups. We would like to know if the school district has a curriculum such as iSafe, which is federally funded to it, and a computer program to address bullying. But we would like to have information concerning there's this other aspect of feuding on social media, and would like to ask if we could have a contact person with the board to discuss both our input and what the schools are doing in regard to developing a curriculum that could de-escalate social media-induced violence. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Menzer will sign somebody to contact you.
Yes, someone will be reaching out.
Okay.
Yes.
The next two we have both are basically talking about the same subject, so I don't know if it's a repeat or whatever, but James Finney? I'm sorry?
I'll be the next person.
You're Kisa? Okay. Still only have 3 minutes.
Keep running.
As soon as you get comfortable, we'll start. Clock.
Yeah. Actually, we started it when you were back.
All right, I'll pull this off.
All right, go ahead.
Start.
Go, Keezy.
Time's up.
My name is Keziah Finney. I'm a William Penn alumni, class 98. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Yes, I have 3 children in the Colonial School District, one at William Penn, one at George Reed, and one at Carrie Downey, and my husband and I have one at home that's 1 year old. I've been teaching for 16 years. I'm a certified math and science teacher, currently a 7th grade science teacher at H.B. DuPont Middle School. My husband and I created a math program, a basic math skill program called Lyrical Math. Teaches basic math skills through hip-hop music. We realized that there's a huge academic achievement gap for our students in the area of math, and we want to make it more engaging through music, which we know a lot of people use as a recall tool. All right? So I wanted to give you guys a quick sample of what we would like to introduce to the Colonial School District, and hopefully you guys will be willing to have discussions about it. It's a wrap. Here we go. Please don't doubt me because I know what's happening to my mixed numbers and to win proper fraction. Multiply my whole numbers to the denominators, and I take that and add it to my numerator. Cross divide that number by the GCF, replace them with the quotient, then I do the rest, multiply my numerator, then I multiply my denominator. I take that answer, and then I simplify it. It is so fast that I don't know where the time went. Last step, checking my answer is accurate, cause it's like work when I'm multiplying fractions. Please don't do it.
That's right.
Please don't doubt because I know what's happening. We have a student workbook, we have a teacher guidebook, we have a resource assessment book, we have a part one, we're working on part two books, and we've been in several places. We've been welcoming to Carrie Downey. We shot a music video at William Penn. So we just would like to branch this out to as many students as possible that need just a different way to learn math. So we'd love to have a discussion about it.
Done?
My time up.
Very nice.
You can wrap another one out in 45 seconds. You got it. maybe a different fraction, though.
Thank you.
Dr. Menzer will have someone reach out to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You have your brother's rapping ability.
Okay, the last one we have is Dale Wesley. Get over it.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
All right, thank you for your time. I just wanted to talk about, I have a daughter who's going into Newcastle Elementary School, and there was a Mandarin immersion program, which appeared to be an amazing program. It's been running for a little while. The kids who were in it absolutely loved it, were excelling in it. Unfortunately, it appears to have been canceled this year. I'm told that there's not enough children signed up for it. And I'm curious if there's anything that we as the community can do to help the school to bring that program back before it's gone for good. As we all know, that once a program is canceled, it's not easy getting it back. And I can't imagine that a early childhood educator fluent in Mandarin is easy to find in Northern Delaware. And I'd hate to lose that. So I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do to help bring it back before it's gone.
Dr. Menzer.
Yeah, since we have 2 minutes left, right? I'm going to ask you to stop and talk to the woman sitting right there. She's leading the charge.
Okay.
With the families from Newcastle, as well as bringing in some outside folks to kind of look at what we can do to continue the program. It's continuing. It's on pause just for kindergarten this year with an assessment of where we are and what we can do in the future to bring it back next year. So it's a gap in a year. It's not a program that's going away. It's just a gap in a year. So we would love your input, and I think Ms. Jones there would be glad to give you her card and get you to the table and have a conversation with us.
All right, thank you. I'll be at the director meeting.
Yeah, she'll track you down. Thank you for joining us.
Any other items, members of the board? Seeing none, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.